All right, welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I am joined by longtime wildland firefighter and one of the best MCs to handle the mic, Mr. Chris Johnson. Thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, man. Mr. Barrett, always a pleasure to come in here.
Oh, man, yeah, thanks. Well, I appreciate having you. And yeah, I just want to start off by talking about all the fundraisers. I mean, you're just fresh off one.
We just had the most amazing night up in Kalispell. You know, Justin Caber, the Flathead Wildland Firefighter Banquet up there, they are rocking. The Flathead, man. Probably 600-700 people there. And the thing that really blows me away, you know, we all roll up about 4:30.
Yeah.
Nice night. A little cool. Great night to be inside.
Oh, yes.
And I walk into the Trade Center. If anybody's familiar with, you know, the Flathead, what do you call it?
The fairgrounds, right?
Fairgrounds, right? Yeah. Huge building. You know, yeah,
massive.
And the first couple of years, this was their fifth annual.
Oh, wow.
First couple of years, you know, a little small. Second year, third year, getting bigger. Last year, they oriented it so you're kind of lengthwise because maybe a third of the building was taken up by stuff. You could see they were kind of trying to make the space the right size for people, right?
Yeah.
Well, this year, man, 100 feet from one end of the building, in probably a 500-foot building, they just cram things over there to house 600 people,
jeez,
minimum.
Yeah,
in there, big tables in front for the premier donors.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, these guys,
full Coors banquet semi.
Absolutely.
And then dozer too, right? Big old dozer.
Dozer, the one thing we didn't raffle off in that whole building.
It was the dozer. Yeah.
The fire engine.
I'm sure it went for a lot though.
I was asking about it. What are you going to take for it?
Yeah, exactly. Let's make a deal. Yeah.
It's a fundraiser.
Exactly. Let's do something here.
Yeah. Don't put it in this building unless it's going to go out the door.
Yeah, exactly. Especially at that place. Holy cow.
So I don't know, man. I'll let Justin Caber and the guys announce how much they made.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. They may have just eclipsed in one night the combined total of all local fundraisers this year.
Man.
Crazy.
Crazy.
The community really came out, you know, and, you know, I wish I'd have kept for this interview, I wish I would have kept a program that had all of the donors that came in.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd want to read them off because they were very generous and the companies, right?
Yeah.
The community. They've got the most support of a community that I think I've ever seen.
Same.
In a fundraiser. It's just amazing to see. You know, it really warms your heart when you walk in there as a firefighter and you see businesses lined up, homeowners associations, fire departments, you name it, just lined up to help. And
oh, it's incredible.
The artists that they've got to come in and make donations. There's some incredible one-of-a-kind stuff.
Yeah.
Put it on the calendar every year to go there just to see the artwork and the donations and the community support. It's second to none.
It is second to none. I mean, I'm so glad that I got the invite to go last year and hang out with you guys. And it was, oh, man, it was well worth it. I had a pretty fresh kiddo. So, it was a little bit hard, you know, tough to juggle. And then this year, just had a lot going on. Couldn't quite make it up this year. But, man, even right as the gates opened, the energy that came to that building was outstanding by the public. Because, you've been a wildland firefighter a little longer than I have. And you get pretty good public support, but you're still running some bad apples that can kind of ruin your assignment a little bit, where you're like, oh, man, we're just out here trying to help, you know? But, nothing but positivity and from the public there. It's amazing.
You know, fun fact, I don't know how long ago it was. It must have been, 7 or 8 years ago. I get a call from Jacob Jurassic up on the Kootenai.
Yeah.
You know? And I meet Jacob and Jenny at one of the breweries in Kalispell, because years ago there was a fundraiser for the foundation, and it was done on the Kootenai, and it was called the Firefighter Challenge.
Oh.
So lots of, you know, you could get district fire crews come in. They might have even brought volunteer fire departments in there. It was done while I was between my Kootenai gigs. I worked on the Kootenai National Forest twice.
Yeah, beginning of your career, right?
Yeah, and the middle.
And the middle.
It's been almost 40 years, so not since I worked there, but it's about a 40-year career.
Yeah, it's a good run, man.
Anyway, they did this firefighter challenge, and I knew about it. And he called me up. He's like, hey, we're not doing the firefighter challenge in Libby anymore. We want to get something going in the Flathead Valley. So it was Jacob Jurassic that had the idea, Jacob and Jenny, to come in and do, and they weren't sure if they wanted to do a banquet or if they wanted to do an event like the putt and pull,
yeah,
where, you know, the firefighters are having fun for the day and we just take care of them, right? Or yeah, do a banquet. And they chose a banquet. And I tell you what, it's great ham and eggs to have a firefighter-oriented day in Missoula that's coming up in 2 weeks. Well, we, yeah, you know, on the 26th of April.
Yeah, so
we'll have the ninth annual putt and pull.
Yeah.
And then they got their banquet up there. It's a great 1-2 punch.
It is, man.
For Western Montana, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and both really fun. Like you said, you're getting two different nights out of it, you know, and both great socials. And then you and a lot of us go up there to support them, and then they come down here. And that was one of the questions I had for you is, Justin Kaber and his sharpshooters are kind of dominating the putt and pull. So I'm wondering, like, is there someone who's going to be able to dethrone those guys? I mean, they're just killing it.
Well, you know, every year we try to put a team together. I will say right now, the way it stands, there's been 9 putt and pulls. One was during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have any event 1 year. So we've won 4, my team. Kaber's team's won 4. This is a rubber match this year.
Oh, yeah.
It's a rubber match. And my team, we had a great guy. We had a wonderful guy. His name was Mikey Newman. And Mikey died last year of COVID.
Man, sorry and to hear that.
He's such a great guy. Mikey Newman was the man when he was in the Navy in 1969. He was stationed in Guam. And he heard the radio crackle one night, and he heard, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind."
Whoa.
And he recorded it and sent that on to Houston.
Whoa.
And that's the official recording. He was the naval midshipman who heard that transmission. A lot of them knew it was coming, but they didn't know when.
Yeah.
And he got it.
Wow.
And we were just sitting on a tee box one night, and I was talking about like how old I was, because I was born the day before they landed on the moon for the first time, July 20, 1969. I was born on the 19th.
Yeah.
And my mom knew. Everybody knew they were in the air heading. Yeah. And I came out about 11:30 p.m. So I wasn't born the day they landed on the moon.
Dang.
But on that night, Mikey Newman, who was just a young, you know, naval midshipman, or I don't know what it, I don't, that's probably the Naval Academy, right? I don't know what his rank was, but he picked that up.
Man.
He picked up that transmission. So Mikey was with us. Mikey also helps a real good friend of mine in Fish, Montana, Les Williams, who's a welder here in town and a longtime donor to our event.
Awesome.
Has a Fish, Montana foundation that he has. His dad was a Navy SEAL.
Dang.
Les's dad is.
Is, yeah.
And so Les takes veterans down the Bitterroot multiple times a summer. No cost to them. All they have to do is listen to Les and throw this right there. Throw this one over there. They get fed by the Montana Club. They get drinks at the end of the day, and all they got to do is go down and have fun. And Mikey threw flies for Les and helped, you know, move the trucks every day when you get a client in and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll really miss Mikey this year. You know, I can't say it enough. We just dedicated a bench to his memory at U of M Golf Course.
Oh, that's great.
On hole number 6, right up on top.
Oh,
so Mikey can be there every time we go by.
Yeah,
and enjoy the we'll have a little drink to Mikey's sake, you know, to Mikey's memory.
Yeah.
Up on hole 6, so.
Man, that's cool. So anyone who's, you know, golfing that area, you know, if you're on hole 6, you know, a little toast
have
to Mikey.
Have a toast to Mikey.
Yeah.
Mikey Newman.
Oh, man.
We called him the WP.
The WP.
And it's Whiskey Papa. That was his nickname. So it's on the bench.
Oh,
you
perfect.
Know what WP was, it's Whiskey Papa for old Mikey.
Oh, that's good to know, because yeah, otherwise I'd like,
never know.
I'd be like, oh, WP.
Get it here first. That's a scoop right here on the
and the
Lookout
guy,
Podcast.
On the Lookout Podcast. Yeah, thanks for tuning in, folks. And he capturing that footage is crazy. You know, that audio piece, because that's, I mean, every time you hear one small step, you know, that's the footage he got, right?
Yeah, I mean, if maybe that doesn't get recorded.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe no one ever hears that if it's not for Mike Newman. I mean, how do you know?
That's
I don't
what I'm
know.
Thinking. Yeah, maybe not. That's what I'm saying. Like, what a powerful guy in so many ways.
You know, we did a Giuliana Torchecci, the pilot who died last year up in Helena on the Horse Gulch fire, Giuliana was, you know, flying a fire boss, and shout out to Dauntless Air, who really took care of their own. Dauntless Air supported the Wildland Firefighter Foundation before Giuliana's death. Every Dauntless aircraft has the Wildland Firefighter insignia on the tanks.
Oh, that's cool.
And have for some time, right? Man, so
that's great.
When Giuliana crashed at Horse Gulch, Matt Counts was the air attack. I don't know if you know that.
No,
Matt Counts
know.
Up on the flathead, yeah. And, when Giuliana died, her sister and her son were invited to come up by Dauntless. And I'm not sure if the foundation helped, because I think Dauntless really stepped up. Dauntless, you know, the company that IDL had contracted with, Idaho Department of Lands had contracted with, and got them on board. They bring her sister and her son up. They're Portuguese speakers.
Oh.
And we wanted to honor them with a cordon of honor. They were going to go out to the crash site in a boat. And while they were there, we were going to time it. And I was going to do a final call on the radio.
Yeah.
And so we thought, I had this final call ready, very brief, you know. And then it occurred to me that they don't speak English.
Oh.
So
it wouldn't be.
Called a friend, and I had him teach me how to say this last call in Portuguese.
That's awesome.
And so flash forward then, this was last summer, two nights ago, up at the banquet, I run into the owner of Dauntless, and he's going to kill me because I can't think of his name right now. Yeah. I just met him.
Sorry.
But he said he was just shocked to meet me. He said, I recognize your voice. Where would I recognize your voice? And I'm like, I don't know. And then the guy that was working, one of his employees, was like, he's the guy that did the last call. And he said it really touched his heart.
Oh, yeah.
And that the family appreciated, because I never got to talk to the family when they were there. Michael Albritton was there, was our team liaison to the family.
Yeah.
And he said they really appreciated it, you know.
That's huge, man. That's going above and beyond. You know, like, and
which is what we do.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what we do in this family, right? In this firefighting family. It's what we do.
Yeah. And I've been trying to capture this a little bit, CJ, in our podcast, but I've been kind of more business. And the first one, I was pretty rough at this. So I was more thinking, like, am I recording? Is CJ happy? Is that happy? You know, like, trying to keep everything coordinated. And so, it's been harder for me to kind of get this thread going about all that you do. And that's why I love having you on, and why you've been a mentor of mine forever. I mean, the BBs, you know, and just like you did for them too, you know, the family you just mentioned. And it's amazing. And it, like you said, it's family. Because I interviewed that fella at the Putnam Pool or at the banquet last year, and he was talking about that didn't exist originally. So it's folks like you that keep it going and then even make it stronger, you know, of a family. And so I appreciate the hell out of you. So I've been wanting to say it for a while.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, it is. I grew up, you know, I think I mentioned this the last time I was on. My dad was in the Forest Service for over 40 years, and I grew up green. So whenever, I got a funny story, but all the weekends we would be burning, or we'd be doing some trail work with the whole group. The entire district would show up. You know, when it was Saturday and there was a fire, everybody from the district was out there that could carry a torch or a Pulaski or a chainsaw. And that's what they did. You know, they eventually came to be known, that we would recognize the term of militia these days. Right. These guys just went out, men, women. I went out when I was younger, when the district was doing a 4 or 5 day weekend of burning.
Yeah.
Dad would cook for him, and I'd run eggs or whatever and feed everybody. And it was a family, you know, and it was funny. Last year I was on, was it last year? Maybe 2 years ago. Time goes by.
It flies.
I was on a fire on the Klamath complex. So I guess it was 2 years ago, and a tough one, you know, tough. It's up in Happy Camp, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say Klamath Country. Yeah.
Tough ground.
Some of the toughest, they'd say.
But the best day is day 14, right? You get done, you brief your incoming you know, operations, you brief your incoming, safety, and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you're out of the planning cycle now, and all they have to do is get home. Mm-hmm. And it's the best time in the world, right? Because you don't have any more responsibility of that incident. You've been beaten down for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No.
Now I'm going to go get a nice burrito somewhere. I'm going to sit and watch the sunset because I got nothing to do but drive home and see my beautiful wife, right?
Yeah.
So I say to myself, I'm like, hey, I'm close to where I grew up. You know, my dad worked in a place called McLeod, California, and there's a little ranger district down there. And I thought, well, I'm gonna go a little outside of A to B and go check it out. Right? Yeah,
swing through.
Yeah, so I go in there and I try to find this place. And I obviously knew the town, but I was just a baby, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I find the district office, and I knew we used to walk down there hand in hand with Mom.
Yeah.
And so I walk down the only road that connected to it, walk back about 3 blocks, and boom, I see it. I see this, you know, this little A-frame house with a little deck on the top. Not much of a deck. Enough that we would get up on there, me and my two brothers. We'd get up there and we'd jump off about maybe 15 feet into the snow, you know.
Oh, gotcha.
And anyway, so I see it right away and I call the old man. I'm like, hey, I think I'm here. And I send him a picture. He's like, that's it. And I was probably four or five.
Dude.
So I see somebody walking around in there. And so I go knock on the door. And the guy's like, hey, how you doing? I said, hey. You know, my dad gave me some names of people. I said, you know, if Mrs. Albany still works around here, I stole a piece of pie from her one time. And he says, no, I don't recognize the name. And I said another name. And he's like, no. He says, when did you live here? And I said, oh, man, 50 years ago.
Yesterday?
He's like, no, man, nobody's here for 50 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
It hit me. Jeez, that's when it hit me.
Yeah, I bet.
Getting seasoned.
Yeah, well, you're not aging. You're not aging very hard, so that's good, you know? Like, if you're, as long as you don't look or feel that way, man, you know?
Yeah, but that fell in the old family aspect of it. I really do. And I, you know, I wish everybody could have the same kind of career I had with that family feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's available to you, sometimes it's not. Sometimes in those remote locations, you get that family feeling, maybe in a place like Missoula, when everybody's got so much to do, you kind of go your own way. And we grew up in those little small towns and kind of had to hang out with each other, you know, and support each other.
Yeah, that's all you had.
It's just the way I grew up, you know. So I want everybody that I come in contact with working for our agencies to feel the same thing. And so that's what I do. That's what we do. That's what the emphasis on my career, the high points of my career are not the fires I've been on. It's the people I've been able to help and have helped me right back.
Yeah.
Those are the things you remember.
So. Totally. Yes. The people. And everyone says that too, you know, like me having the smoke jumper background, you know, it's to me at least, it's the pinnacle of wildland firefighting because of the training and all the things you get to do and those specialized work. But no one, I mean, a few people like, I think miss going out the door, but most people are like that. Just miss the people I used to get to work with, you know, and that encapsulates everybody, not just the jump ace, but all the fire resources you get to work with and the support and all that. Like you said, they're called militia now, but one of my first fires, that big fires outside of Whitehall, just north of town, one of my friends, I'm blanking on his name, Anton, came up the hill, and you know, it was pretty damn steep, so I'm looking at the top of his hard hat, and then he finally gets up to me, and he's cruising. I'm like, geez, who's this? You know, like, I knew he was on the fire crew, all the fire folks were out there, and he comes up, and he's a little out of breath, but he's just like, Barrett, how are we doing? I was like, Anton, what are you up to, man? He's a timber guy, but, you know, the call went out that we had a big fire and all hands on deck and everybody showed up. And like you said, it was awesome, man.
It was fun.
Yeah. That first shift was amazing. And then the afterward, it's a, you know, a little bit of that, like, we did all we could today, you know, we'll get back after tomorrow, kind of like the end of your 14. And, but just like, hey, thanks for showing up, guys, you know, like, appreciating those militia folks. And we built a little better bond, you know, I think with those folks. And then ended up being, I think, a type 3 for a minute, and well, it was type 4 and then type 3, and a lot of those folks came into the type 3 organization and helped out that way, like, you know, gal from Weeds, Leah Compton, and then Anton came and helped out, like, and so it was super cool, you know. It was all the folks off the district and the forest, and kind of made that bond tighter, you know.
Yeah,
and it's a special thing. And yeah, like, you know, I got two little kiddos of my own, so part of me like is like, I don't know if I want them to be in fire, but then part of me is like, oh man, all the cool memories and the family that I built, you know, over the, I got almost 20 years in right now, you know, starting in 2008. So, yeah, it's it's great. I'm really glad I did it.
I think the lesson for anywhere you go and you work, the more your work is family, and that you love to do what you do, and you're surrounded by the people who feel the same way at any job,
yeah.
You spend a lot of your time at work.
Yeah.
And so with a little bit of effort and just a little bit of, you know, compassion, empathy, you'll find a family soon enough, right? The more you give of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's a corollary in the old L280 curriculum, the power paradox. The more you give, the more you get, right?
Yeah.
So the more you give in your work life, the more you know, people just are attracted to you. You're going to help them. They help you. And all of a sudden, you know, you got an extended family, right? And all of a sudden you're having a little barbecue. You're doing a little thing. You're helping out somebody that's sick, watching the dog, anything, right? So those kinds of things. It's the same reason I referee basketball. You know, we spend a lot of our time on the court. There's about 120 of us in a pool here in Missoula. We get hollered at. You know, we get a shared empathy. We get a shared sacrifice from that.
Ooh, yeah,
and it's a real bonding thing. You know, we get young guys and gals that come in to referee.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't stick around long enough to feel that camaraderie that builds when you're taking the slings and arrows of the public and coaches.
Yeah.
It really forms a bond between you all.
Yeah.
And it's a fun, it's something that you remember, those kinds of things, at least me. Those are the kind of things that I really remember going into the twilight of my working career.
Yeah.
Those are the things that really matter and I try to focus on these days.
I bet, man. I bet it polishes you a little bit too, like interaction wise, you know, like you are taking all this heat while you're reffing, you know, not like fighting fire, you know, some pressure. Probably more in reffing because you got a whole gymnasium looking at you and maybe blaming you for something that, you know, you just call the call. And then be able to take it and keep cruising, or even be able to give like a little bit of a, you know, some kind of witty comment back, you know, to kind of keep it light.
Yeah.
And that's what I always liked about rugby is like the refs would let you, I'd be like, you know what you did. And they would like be really funny about it. And you're like, yeah, you're right. You know, so you'd be mad at him for a second. And they'd be like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
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 That was me. But yeah. And then this year for the, Fire and Ice, this was the first year you emceed both games, right?
You know, yeah, I mean, I've emceed. I kind of lose track. My wife's in trouble because my memory is so good.
Yeah.
But I've emceed and called those games. Sometimes I call the JV game a little better because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what.
Yeah.
They call a penalty. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, look at Rogue. I'll yell at him because he can't hear me.
Yeah.
What do you do? You know? Who scored? Somebody scored?
Yeah. What just happened?
So I try to have somebody spotting for me. My good friend Cameron Meyer spotted for me this year. And so he's just like, hey, it's icing. I'm like, icing's a call.
Dude, well, you do such a good job at like some of my relatives were in town this year. My brother-in-law and my mother-in-law were there. And, my kiddos, my wife, of course. And they were just loving it. Because, yeah, the JV game can be a little bit more dry. It's
a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching... I would say compare it to like little kid soccer, you know, like a little bit of bunching and, you know, then the puck shoots out and then everyone chases and, you know, I'm guilty of it as anybody because I'm the one out there on the ice, you know, but so that's where it's, I think, also good is because people are kind of getting, you know, situated and getting to see people again. They haven't seen it's reunion.
It's a connection.
Yeah. It's a connection. So
it's a connection.
People aren't watching the game as much. So it's a good warm up for the varsity because the varsity to me is pretty good hockey, you know,
I'd tell you it's come a long way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many annual events I've been to because they were doing it before I got involved.
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you, that varsity game, ooh-wee.
Man, that puck's moving. Those
it
guys
is moving.
Are...
And I tell you, tempers flare.
Oh, yeah.
Tempers flare.
It's a little more heated.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, yeah, that was my bad. You know, you just like, oh, man.
Well, when you're so gassed, I can only imagine being on the ice. I don't do well. I'm all torso.
Yeah.
I don't do well on skates, and I've never been on ice skates, but I know it's grueling.
Oh, man, yeah. It'll wear you out in a weird way. And what you're all torso, though. You got that reach, though. You might be pretty good.
I got
good.
Reach. I could probably just sit there and goal.
Yeah, I see.
But I'm better with the microphone. I'll just stay right there.
Yeah, well, you're one of the best. That's why I said it starting out here, man. Like my in-laws are from the Midwest, and they've been to like Chicago Bulls games and Blackhawks games and stuff. And man, they had high praise for you after the game. And I was like, yes, he's just the man. He's the best. Well, and then you're wearing that cool jersey, which I did not know that the Wildlanders were white there for a minute.
You know, if I had any ounce of energy in me, I've got 20 of those because I have the original Missoula County Fire Protection Association jerseys. We convinced the MCFPA, which is just all the fire departments and all the federal and state agencies that have wildland fire responsibility in Missoula County. You know, I used to be their secretary treasurer.
Oh.
And so I said, hey, we got this fire on ice. We got this new format going on. Missoula City and Missoula Rural try to just beaten up on each other. And so there's some wildlanders that want to get involved. They don't have the scratch to get their own sweaters, and we don't want them going out there looking like a bunch of single people, right? Yeah. And so we convinced them to drop a couple thousand dollars to be the sponsor. And I can't remember who was putting it together at that time, but I called them up and I said, hey, I got you guys some sweaters. I said, I got you jerseys. They said, well, they're not jerseys, they're sweaters. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I got them. We got them 0 through 19, you know, for the fallen, 19.
Yeah, Granite Mountain.
And they just bought jerseys of their own.
Oh, really?
Damn. So I've been sitting on them for years in this box.
Oh,
and really? So I wore one. And what I'm going to do next year is I'm gonna have somebody up at the silent auction sell them. We'll put your name on them.
Oh, that'd be
cool. Have the logos that need to be on there, the Fire on Ice team logos on them, so that when you come up, you can buy one, and we can get a return on our investment on these sweaters, because they're just sitting in my office right now, and the new boss wants them out.
Yeah.
Right? What's this?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But you look good.
You working or you fundraising?
Yeah, maybe a little both.
Yeah. It's good. They're good to me in there.
Yeah.
They let me commit these little ethical violations, you know, because there's the combined campaign with the U.S. Forest Service. That's what we agreed to give our money to.
Yeah.
And the people are very patient with me and very, very supportive inside these buildings here at Fort Missoula to allow me to kind of stretch my legs a little bit sometimes and make announcements during meetings, teams meetings. Yeah. Because I know there's a lot of people raising money for a lot of different things, right? And
yeah.
I know that. When someone hears that out of me in a meeting sometime, they're like, well, hey, what's so good about you? You know, what's so good about what you do? And but they've been very good to me to allow me to do those kinds of things.
Yeah.
When I'm in my official capacity here at work. It's just, again, it's an extension of the Forest Service family that allows me to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then it helps in so many layers, you know, like not only you're helping out somebody else in need, you know, which is a Forest Service employee or their family, or you're like, hey, come on to an awesome social event. Like, you know, the Putt and Pole is a great one because it's in the spring, or Fire and Ice, or the Kalispell Banquet, but more locally, the Fire and Ice and the Putt and Pole. And the Fire and Ice specifically because usually it's February, so it's in the dark days of winter. So it's like, come out and hang out and get some social environment.
That's what I always say. Come on out and connect with us.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have the money to buy a ticket, you can be there. It doesn't cost you a thing to walk in.
No.
And just connect with people you haven't seen in a long time. Missoula's got a lot of researchers, pilots, you know, dispatchers, you name it, forest health protection, trails. I can, you know, so many people more than fire.
Yeah.
And this is just a chance to connect, you know. Yeah. There's a huge community here. And that's, you know, when I say that, you know, the Flathead Banquet's killing it, and they are. Our focus here is to make sure that first and foremost that we have a gathering place for every single firefighter, militia, you name it, their family members,
yes,
that they can all come and participate and have fun. And I don't say, you know, it's going to cost them an arm and a leg to go to the Flathead Banquet. It doesn't. They have the same policy up there, right? But we want to make sure that the Putt and Pole stays within reach of every single firefighter and their family and the whole support group every time. You know, that's what we want. We want a day of connection. We're going to raise some money.
Yes.
You know, but we're going to make a connection.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that too. Like, you don't have to be fire or even have any kind of connection to fire. You could just be a person who wants to come support fire or just come to the social event and support public lands.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's why it's such a, like the thing you said on my podcast before about one of the best things this country did about public lands. It's true.
Yeah. Short of throwing out the British, there's public lands out there and we steward them. You know, we keep them, we conserve them, right?
Yeah.
And it's our charge from the public. It's a big deal. And yeah. I tell you what, when you walk into something like the Flathead Banquet and you see community members, businesses, HOAs, just like I said, when you see those people opening up their hearts and their hard-earned money in their wallets to support you, it means a heck of a lot to everybody that's in there around, you know, around that, in that building that's trying to raise money.
Yeah.
When a lot of people are hurting, right? So,
yep.
And they come in there, I give them their due respect because yeah. They're giving it right to me. You know, they're supporting us, and I just can't thank them enough.
Yeah, we appreciate the hell out of them. And maybe I'll try to get that list from Caber when he comes to the put and pull.
You can interview Caber. I tell you, and tell him, you know, tell him that I said so, that he can make mention of that stuff and support him because, you know, companies can choose to support the causes they choose to support. Anybody yeah. can, right?
Yeah.
And you support people that you believe in and that thank you too.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Like you said, the cold hard cash. I mean, like one of the first folks I ran into at the banquet last year was, you know, right at the front was where the UTV was and the raffle. And one of the hot shots from a Flathead, a great guy, was going to give the spiel. And the guy's like, nah, I don't need to hear it. He's like, I don't care if I win or not. He's like, this is for a great cause. I was like, whoa. Like, that was the first guy that, like, came in the door pretty much. I was like, this is going to be a great night. Yeah. This guy's awesome. I was like, I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Yeah. You know?
These guys put deposits in our bank.
Yeah.
The Wildland Firefighter Foundation, that's our bank. And they loan out 0% interest.
Yeah.
And so we're just feeding the bank. Need the bank. Because when a guy needs it, he's got to have it. And when he needs it, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a recipient. You know, I got that tumor in my kidney a few years back. And I don't know if I would have, I know, like, without the support of, like, the Wildland Firefighter Foundation and folks all around, like, yeah, why not have got the treatment? I would have not gotten the treatment at Mayo Clinic that I needed because they weren't taking the insurance, you know, I had at the time. So it was a lot out of pocket that I could not afford. And,
yeah, I hurt my foot last year for the first time I had an injury because I don't do a lot of swinging tools, Mr. Barrett.
Well, you got to fight your battles. You got to choose your battles, you know?
But I hurt my foot last October 15th. And because I was a patient with Department of Labor, it took me about 3 months to finally see a podiatrist. It took me several more months to finally get some orthotics in my feet that I need.
Jeez, man.
And I have just said, you know what? I'm not waiting. I'm just going to go take my Blue Cross Blue Shield over here to community. Yeah. But I wanted to get a little sense of the empathy for all my sisters and bros who have been through that.
Yeah.
And I held the line and I stayed. I want to know what it was. I want to know how long it takes. I want to know what the barriers are. And I was a pretty simple case, you know? So,
yeah.
It's an eye opener. If you've never been through that process, it's very frustrating to feel like what you do is important and that you don't get a sense of value from your own big C community, right? When you get in line and, not just get in line, you're in a much longer line. And I don't want to throw anybody at Department of Labor under the bus and all the people that helped me through the process.
Yeah.
But it is quite a process, as you well know.
Yeah.
And you got to really stick with it. You got to have the support of your family or the foundation or your friends. And if you don't, the stress that you have doesn't let you heal.
No, it doesn't. Yeah, because
it doesn't let you heal. Mindset, it's always nagging at you, right? It's always nagging at you, and it's tough.
It is tough.
So it takes us all to help that situation along.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a really good point, because especially our fire background, you know, and all the other, you know, like you said, bros and sisters in our trade. Going from feeling like superheroes at some point in your life because you're in such great shape, you know, and being able to hike and you know, pound line and cut trees and fight fire and all these things that we have to do that are physically demanding that not too many people can do, and I definitely couldn't do off the couch. Like, I probably couldn't do a lot of stuff right now. You know, I'm not in great shape. But back when I was, and then tumor, injury, you know, happens, like, to me or to anybody, and you go also, like, you get floored, and you're like, man, I was on top of the world physically, you know, and now I'm down here trying to figure out how I'm going to get myself back to.
You need help.
Yeah, need help. Yeah,
you need help.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I want to mention too something you said about the. You said in the beginning L280 the what you get what you give kind of
power paradox. The more you give away, the more you get.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say I saw that firsthand the last 2 years at the Putt and Pull, and you probably know what I'm talking about with the auction.
Mm-hmm.
When was it? Isaac's daughter won last year.
E-bike.
Yeah, or the year before.
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then Ed Lynn's daughter.
Yeah,
Ed won Lynn's last daughter. Year.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Ed Lynn, one of my favorite bros to ever work with, man. He was incredible. But that right there, right?
Oh, it's amazing. Oh,
man, I'm tearing up a little bit just thinking about it.
Oh, I know. I saw that name, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. You know, in the first year, there's been a lot of that going on. The first year, John Fiddler, was the very first participant in the 52 Club. And if your listeners don't know, your viewers don't know what the 52 Club is, it's a donation every week, 52 weeks a year. And we get a lot of people who come to the Putt and Pull and donate hundreds, if not thousands of dollars every year, but aren't members of the 52 Club. You get a member of the 52 Club, you barely miss the money, and it goes in every month. It's a huge part of the foundation, right?
Yeah,
and a huge part of their, everybody needs steady income. So you can plan, right? Just like anybody does, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, he was the first member of the 52 Club. And he was a rural fire department guy here in Missoula. And he bought a motorcycle. He bought a Harley Davidson, put a paint job on it, said Wildland Firefighter on it. And he babied that thing. But he didn't run it till he retired. Well, as has happened so many times, a few weeks into retirement, he dies. Barely puts any miles on that thing at all.
Yeah.
So... we get it donated to our very first fundraiser.
Yeah.
Jill Kenyon donated it. Friend, just a huge shout out to Jill Kenyon.
Thank you, Jill.
And so we raise a big dollar figure. We wouldn't have raised anything without that Harley.
Yeah.
And so anyway, and then flash forward to the year of COVID. We're giving away now a bumper pull camper. Everybody wants this thing, you know, and we're in my basement with Jonah Vaughn, Shannon's down there. A few other people, my wife, were down there, and we're doing this by Zoom.
Oh,
we're doing the Putt and Pull over Zoom.
Oh, really?
Little costume party. And anyway, we got the drum down there with all the tickets. It's late, and we spin it. And you didn't have to be present to win. I pull out Jill Kenyon. She won the camper, and I'm like, and she's on the call. She's on the Zoom call. I'm like,
yes,
Jill, you won. You know. Mm-hmm. And so she's just beside herself. I put this ticket down, and we finished the end of the, you know, the end of the night. And I'm sitting there with a whiskey in one hand, probably midnight, and we're having fun. We're enjoying the event's over. We've raised money even during COVID. And I got a lot of tickets in this bin. So I spin it again. And we rent this bin every year. It's not ours.
Yeah.
So it's got to go back in the morning. So I spin this thing, and I reach in, and I grab Jill Kenyon's second ticket. She only bought two.
Oh,
it was absolutely, I get shivers.
Man.
You talk about meant to be.
Yes.
Right there.
Man, that is so cool. So, yeah, I mean, the trend, you know, is continuing. So
the more
cool
you give, the more you get.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, when you announced that girl's name last year, you know, Ed Lynn's daughter, I was like,
everybody
holy
knew.
Cow,
there
man.
Wasn't a dry eye in the place.
No.
And she was so happy.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Isaac, man, he's got a big heart, too. You know, like, I think Isaac kind of helps get those raffle tickets bought every year, doesn't he? Or buys them for him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, what a great guy Isaac is.
Yeah, we got dozens of people out for months selling tickets. They don't have to do it.
No.
You know, and it's an imposition. There's a lot going on right now in the country right now, right?
Yeah.
Heck of a lot of uncertainty. And to try to fundraise in a year like this, and I haven't noticed a drop in support at all.
Yeah, that's awesome.
People would give their last dollar to help out their sisters and their brothers in what we do, because of what we do and who we are. And it's an incredible, it's a humbling thing, because you know, you think about when you're in your planning process back in November and, you know, December, January, and you think to yourself as a team, are we going to do this or are we going to take the year off and give everybody a break? And we just plow through.
Yeah.
And the support comes. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's amazing.
Yeah. Holy cow. I mean, and the wind down from those things, like, you know, like you're like, even just when you're in your basement during COVID or last year when I was lucky enough to bring this to the event and I was, you know, getting ready to get out of there. I had my, you know, two kids at home and my wife, and you know, one was pretty young, you know, my little boy was still only months old, you know, and so I'm packing up everything. And then I don't want to say it, Clint showed up, and then Hyphen showed up, and then I think you showed up, and then Laura Ward showed up, and then we ended up sitting in here for like another half hour. Wow. Just hanging out and swapping some stories, man.
Just a blast.
Yeah, man, were you there when Laura Ward came in? Mm-hmm. When she entered the conversation, and that's her story. I'm not going to repeat what she said, but it was hilarious because I did not know her that well, and she just pops her head in the Airstream and is like, so there I was.
She's my hero.
She's amazing.
If I could emulate anyone, any supervisor ever had, and be like that person, it'd be Laura Ward, no question, hands down.
Incredible, man. And
she's amazing.
Yeah, and so even keel, right? Like, she's been the same person every time I've ran into her, no matter what is going on. You know, like when I first met her, I think, like, officially, like, you know, there was probably some fires or whatever that we'd said hey or whatever in passing, and I was helping out here on a, like, unofficial detail engine bossing in 17 when Lola Peak and Sunrise and all this, you know, chaos was going on around us, you know, and on the forest. And you know, I just wander over every once in a while. I was helping move something, I think, one time. And, I mean, it was like peak chaos. And Laura Ward was still awesome Laura Ward, you know?
Yeah. There's some people that need all the details before they make a decision. And then there's some people that understand with whatever input they've got that one has to be made. And that's Laura Ward.
Yeah.
And when you've got, in, say, a 2017, when you've had multiple fatalities over the last couple of years, There are columns poking off every time a cold front comes in. And the spotlight is on you, and you still come to work every day, and you're the most prepared person in the room. And when some decision needs to be made, whether it's going to be, it's going to throw light on you or shadow, and you make it, I mean, that's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be, that decision maker. And some people shy away from that, and some people thrive in it and Don't mind making that because they know what that at that point it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
She always had a good compass for that, you know, an amazing compass for that.
That's
she'd
huge.
Tell you that she wouldn't say that she's always made the best decisions, right?
Yeah.
But as a leader, you make them and you learn, and that's, and she conveyed that, and she's so many people mentored from her. It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, one of my first leadership classes, maybe in guard school, it's like you make the best decision with the amount of information you have at that point. Like, you maybe not have all the information.
You'll never have it all.
Yeah. So you make that decision, and you do the best you can, and then you adjust as you go. And, yeah, otherwise you'll never get anything done.
Have a bias for action.
Yeah, bias. I like that. Well, sweet, CJ, I don't think I have much else. I mean, one more shout-out for the putting pole.
Saturday the 26th. Listen, if you're within the sound of my voice and you're close to Missoula, don't miss out on it. You know, if you're not shooting and you're not golfing, that's all right. About 6 o'clock. Come on in, down on 200 International Drive, Highlander Brewing. You'll see us all.
Yeah.
Come on in there. Bring your wallet. Leave your wallet. Either way, come in, say hi. Hugs all around. We'll have a great night. Come and see us.
Yeah. Yeah, please step by. I can't recommend enough, like you said, CJ. Like, if you're not shooting trap or you're not, you know, shooting golf, come to the social. The social alone is worth it, but man, the first thing in the morning out shooting some trap is pretty awesome way to start the day. And a great group of folks you there too, you know, and the trash talk starts early, which I really appreciate, you know.
Yeah, it does. I hope to see you there.
Yeah, I'll be
Let's get some fun interviews at the end of that night. It's always a fun night to do that, to unwind.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you help so much by broadcasting us and getting us out there. I mean, without you, no one else is interviewing me, so I really appreciate what you do for the family right here in this Airstream. It's big time.
Thanks, CJ. Yeah, that's one of the biggest reasons why I started this thing is to help get the word out for events like the Putt and Pole and you know, Wildland Firefighter Foundation and just share awesome stories from the folks that we've grown up with and fought fire with, and a lot of really good folks out there. So if I can support them in any way, this is the best way I knew how. So
can't thank you enough, Mr. Barrett.
Thank you, CJ. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in, and hope to see you at the putting pool.
Oh, thanks, man. Is it getting better? It feels better.
Feels great.